Hello and welcome back to the Millennial Ag Podcast, where agriculture is always on tap and no topic is off limits. Thanks for joining us today, your co-hosts, Valene Cawhorn and Catherine Lotsbeach.
Listeners, welcome back to the third episode in our May Mental Health series, and we are super duper excited to have Taryn Dreeling with us this week. You may have seen her as Faith, Family, and Beef, and she's recently rebranded to do some more focus around mental health and draw a good movement. So Taryn, we thank you so much for taking time out of your morning to join us on the May Mental Health series. Would you mind giving listeners a little bit of background of who you are and a little bit about your family as well?
Sure. So I grew up in Northeast Nebraska on a small feed yard, and I went to college thinking I was going to be a veterinarian, but then
physics happened
and I changed my major to feed yard management. And I worked at a large feedlot in the panhandle of Nebraska for 7 years before my husband and I moved to the ranch that we live and work on now. And we're raising our three kids who are totally awesome human beings here. And it's just really cool to watch them grow up in agriculture and on the ranch. But it's funny because you say I rebranded, but I really just changed my handle to my name. I guess you could say it's kind of like a homecoming back to me. Not that Faith, Family, and Beef aren't huge parts of who I am, but just changed my handle to my name. But I did shift what I was talking about, and that kind of got started in 2016. I was out in the pasture. It was just me and my dog moving pairs, and I started the first few head of cows with their calves through the gate into the new pasture, and then the rest of them just started to pick up their calves and follow along. And so I just sat on the hill and watched as the cows essentially moved themselves. And I was reflecting on this phrase that we have in stockmanship, good movement draws good movement. And 16 was an election year. And usually when I tell this story, I say it was a hotly contested election year, but every election year is. But this was the first one that social media was the giant that it is today. And so there was a lot of public fighting and arguing that I could see. And I'm an Enneagram type 9, so like I like the peace. I like to avoid conflict in general. So that was really hard for me to watch that, although I didn't know that about myself then. But it was hard for me to watch that, and I just wanted to scream, like, can't we all just get along? I was reflecting that day in the pasture, and I'm like, if this principle of good movement works with cattle, could it work for humans? And the foundation of good movement is being aware of yourself, having some self-awareness, and being aware of what the cattle are relaying to you. So having some social awareness, if you will, and then communicating in such a way that it's low stress and everybody understands what's going on, even if you don't agree. Like using the example of cattle, they may not want to go through the chute for you, but if you are aware of yourself, aware of them, and communicating in a way that they understand, they're going to go through and it's not going to be a stressful situation. And I kept thinking, if we can do this with cattle that don't speak English, they're not human, could it be true for humans? And I was like, yeah, I mean, ultimately, yes. And not only is it possible, I think it's pretty necessary. But I just set that idea down for a while, like 2 years before I wrote about it on my Faith, Family, and Beef blog. So I first wrote about it in 2018. And then after that, it just started kind of snowballing. Like I dove more into my own self-awareness and social awareness and got really familiar and started teaching the Enneagram. I still will teach it, but not like I was then, but just helping people draw good movement with people the way that we were with our cattle. And so that's kind of where I got my start. And that's where the rebrand, if you will, got started. But then in May of 2023, my dad died suddenly and unexpectedly. And it had just so happened that the week before that, I had learned some information that, had I known it a long time ago, would have changed a lot of things in my life. And at that point, when I learned that new information, I had made the call to talk to someone because I'm like, I cannot keep shoving my emotions down, which is what I was doing. I was never angry. And by never angry, I mean I never showed or expressed anger until I couldn't hold it in anymore. And then it was just this explosion of ridiculousness. And so at that point, when I learned that information, I was sort of overwhelmed and everything kind of came to a head. And I'd done enough inner work on my own to know that I needed someone else to help me start feeling again, essentially. Well, then my dad died. And so I had the call on the books already. But the topic of conversation in that first call shifted from, I guess it was always going to be grief, because what I was really doing was grieving what I knew to be true for a really long time. And it wasn't true anymore. So there was grief there. But it shifted from that grief to talking about the grief I was experiencing with losing my dad. And I took a lot of time off from social media. I wasn't really motivated to do much during that first several months after dad died. And yeah, it was in 2023 that I started my podcast. I had had this idea to start a podcast for a year and I just sat on it. And then that was the only thing that really felt like I wanted to do. And I wanted to talk about mental health and emotional well-being, because not only having been through my own journey, but also just being immersed in agriculture and seeing how the culture of agriculture is to be tough and strong. And if you show emotion, sadness, compassion, even compassion, is sometimes you're a sensitive little snowflake. I'm immersed in this culture. I can see it. I've just walked through my own journey. I now know that actually being strong means being able to feel. Because in my mind, the opposite of being a sensitive little snowflake is having a thick skin. And a sensitive snowflake, if you think of an actual snowflake, it's fragile. It breaks apart really easily. But having a thick skin, a hard shell, that's brittle and it can break too. And it will eventually. And so that was kind of the premise of starting the podcast. And then I started doing some one-on-one work. And now I also do group for women. One-on-one, I see men or women, men and women. But in the group, it's just for rural women. But also, I started all of that. And then in December of last year, so December of 2024, the day after Christmas, I learned that I grew a cancer in my left breast. And so also having walked through that, like the morning of surgery, my mom was there and she went on her own cancer journey. And so she was asking me the morning of my mastectomy, like, how are you nervous? Are you scared? And I was like, actually, no, I feel the best mentally and emotionally than I've ever felt in my entire life. And like when you think about something hard like that, like a diagnosis, or we just had a tornado come through our area two nights ago and it hit one homestead. So you think about something unexpected like that, or an unexpected diagnosis or an unexpected death. And I don't think it's just in those times that we need to be doing our inner work and healing and really paying attention to our mental and emotional well-being. But it's all the time. Because had I learned that I grew a cancer 3 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to say I'm the best mentally and emotionally than I've ever been. And I say, I won't tell you that my repression and suppression of emotions and hard things for my whole life caused my cancer, but it certainly did nothing good for the soil. It provided perfect soil for it to grow in. So I don't think I've shared this on my podcast or very publicly. I'll tell people in person, but everyone says, oh, I'm so glad you caught that cancer early because it was small and I didn't have to do chemo and all the things. Yes, I did catch it early. I knew I had a lump for probably more than a year before I went and got it checked out. Had I not been doing the inner work and working to heal myself mentally and emotionally, which we can in our minds separate our mind and body out and our spirit out all the live long day, but they're connected. Everything's connected. So mental and emotional health isn't just mental and emotional health, it's physical health too. So yes, I caught it early, but I also credit the inner work that I was doing for keeping it small because I waited so long to go get it checked out. And by being more mentally and emotionally well, I was more physically well, and my body and my immune system could do what it was designed to do and keep it contained and small. I know that's not everyone's story, but that's my story.
There's a lot of power, a lot of emotion, a lot of life experiences in everything that you just described. And thank you for sharing all of it, because going back to agriculture being tough and thick skins and thick hides and all that sort of stuff, it's really hard to share that, especially when we've all grown up in agriculture like we have, and showing that emotional, vulnerable side might get you judged. It might get you made fun of. It might make people think less of you. So, I mean, first off, just a really big thank you for sharing that. You know, that's why we do May Mental Health here on Millennial Ag. We do episodes about it throughout the year, and obviously you're focused on it too. So, you know, we're really encouraged that there's other women in agriculture working on this message to put it out to the wider agricultural community.
At Peacock Technology, we're transforming dairy farming with robotics and AI.
Our pre-brush and post-spray robots work on rotary milking parlors to ensure consistent udder hygiene, alleviating labor shortages, and maintaining high standards year-round.
Our advanced vision system and online platform integrates data from wearables and body condition scores, giving farmers a complete view of each cow's health and performance, saving time and cost while boosting efficiency and profitability.
Peacock Technology, empowering better decisions for your herd's well-being and productivity. Visit peacocktechnology.com to learn more.
I love what you said about not just doing the work, being aware in times of adversity, you know, a death in the family or a diagnosis or a tornado, for heaven's sakes. I think we know that resilience is built through adversity, right? We don't build resilience through the easy times, but you're absolutely right. What crossed my mind was, you know, we need to do that work in the everyday so that we are ready when those tough times come to be able to utilize those tools and skills. And I just think that that was a really good point to bring up. You've done a lot of healing and a lot of work in the last several years. And what are your goals with the work that you're doing now, you know, in the groups that you're describing, the group work that you do with, and your podcast to move the conversation forward?
I don't really know that I have like goals that you can mark, you know, like, what do they say? Goals need to
like
be measurable.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have those, but
it doesn't have to be formal. We're completely informal around here.
Awesome. Love it. What I am on a mission to do is to disrupt the status quo for how we view mental and emotional health in rural America. And what I mean by that is literally pulling up by the roots these ideas that we have that emotions are weak and that you can't ask for help and that it's a badge of honor if you never take a day off to let yourself rest. Not only knowing my own journey, but being, like I said, in agriculture and witnessing it, I have seen more than just myself, people that I love, that I'm very close to, people that I'm friends with, people who are in my community that maybe I'm not as close to, but I know who they are. And I see these things and I just, there are too many people having physical symptoms from mental and emotional health things, whether that's suppression or they maybe have a diagnosis or whatever it is. I see these physical symptoms coming out because of not taking care of their mental and emotional health. And quite frankly, we're not always the most welcoming and open to sitting with people in those things. And so my goal is just to disrupt the status quo and for more people to at least be willing to sit with people in whatever it is they're feeling, because that's huge. That's huge. Connection is so, it's so important. People are literally wired for connection. In fact, have you guys seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Where Gus is like, I show you, or you give me any word and I show you how the root of that word is Greek.
He's like, yeah, kimono.
Yeah. Connection is so important that I say, if you give me any issue that we face as humans, I can show you how the root of that issue is in unsecure attachment and lack of connection. That's how important connection is. And so that's not really a measurable goal, but if I can do anything to just open people up to the idea of being more open and being more connected to sit with those people who are struggling and feeling alone, then that's everything.
I first want to applaud you because I think sometimes we want to make our SMART goals, you know, and be uber rigid, which is also maybe a symptom of, you know, emotional perfectionism and so forth. And so just wanting to disrupt the status quo in an industry that is rooted in tradition takes a lot of courage. So I want to say thank you for doing that. And then second, connection is huge because, you know, we're a lot of us in ag are 30 minutes from the nearest town if we're lucky, right? Like you look at the middle of nowhere, Nevada, Nebraska, where have you, there's an hour or 2 hours to a grocery store sometimes. And so finding connection, especially during those long seasons, is hard. Like it's hard and it takes sometimes extra effort to get that connection that's not right next door like you might see in a more urban setting. How are you encouraging connection for people in those rural settings?
Yeah. So one of the ways that I do that, so the Good Movement Collective is my group community. And so I keep it small, so limited to 6 women, so that there's a good opportunity for like those strong, deep connections. And obviously, we're all spread out, like you said. So we meet virtually, but we have an ongoing group chat. And so it's just none of our calls are recorded. So it's like safe where you can open up and share things that maybe you've never shared with anyone else. But everyone in that group gets this way of life. Like we understand. And so we're there for each other to remind each other that we're not alone, one, but also sit with each other in whatever it is that may be going on. And so that's one of the ways. And then talking about it, obviously, on my podcast, but in real life, like I'm not going to just talk about it, I'm going to be about it. And so in real life, in my community, I make it a point to reach out or sit with someone, or, you know, if I can sense that they need a hug, I'll just go up and hug. Like, obviously not a rando, but maybe someday I would do that. But just being about and like truly connecting myself. So the principle of Good Movement, it starts with you. So I'm starting with me. I got more self-aware. I did the inner work and healed. And now I am embodying that. Like, by default, good movement draws good movement. And there is so much evidence that that's true. And it starts with you. So that's what I'm doing. I've got the group. I'm not talking about it. I'm doing both. I'm talking about it and being about it. Just fostering it wherever I can.
Hi, I'm Tom Heron, founder of Ag Professionals. Agriculture is always innovating and evolving. And at Ag Professionals, we provide the expertise to help you stay ahead. From land use planning and environmental compliance, permitting to real estate, civil and environmental engineering, and land surveying, we offer one-stop solutions you need to grow and succeed. We're proud to support the Millennial Ag Podcast because we believe in the future of agriculture. Let's build that future together. Visit our website, agpros.com, to learn how we can help your operation thrive.
I mean, you're living out your values and your commitment and your courage to change and disrupt what we are doing or not doing in the industry. I think you can make the case that we're sticking our heads in the sand and ignoring it, right? And you talk about, you see the physical representation of people's mental pain and mental unwellness. Is that a word?
It is now.
Yeah, it is now. Exactly. And having the courage to do something about it, like you say, the courage to sit with someone, that is so, so hard because it is so uncomfortable. And, you know, you come back to, you think it's uncomfortable for you. Imagine what that person is going through and just having a hand to hold. You know, it was the end of 2019 and I was in a rotten place. I was in a super bad place. Fal and I were working together. And I remember I was at work that day. And I couldn't sit. I couldn't work. And Val she took me outside. We sat down on a bench and she just held my hand. You know, she didn't know what to say. She didn't know what to do. She just sat with me. And that's, I mean, honestly, that is one of the biggest things that you can do. And I think just vocalizing it here and encouraging people to do that and, you know, having a little bit of enough self-awareness to see what someone else is going through and just sit with them, I think is such a powerful thing. That's such a good place to start, right? I mean, that's literally just planting the seed of moving yourself and whoever you're sitting with on towards the path of wellness and almost the determination in agriculture. And I think it is changing the conversations that we're having here, the conversations you're putting out into the world. It is starting to change, but it, you know, it feels like a determination to ignore this problem that really is going to blow up at some point. And you could say that it blows up, you know, anytime someone takes their life or, you know, is in a place where they think that they have to start selling off pieces of their property or their ranch to try and fix the problems that are actually within. And, you know, that's a story that we heard from one of our guests last year. He was in a bad place mentally. And so he started just selling off cattle, selling off pieces of land, thinking that that would reduce the stress and fix his problems. And he figured out that that wasn't what was the issue. And that was a really powerful message to come from a man, right? Because in agriculture, the majority of operators are men. And it's them who have, you know, probably the most unspoken and untreated issues in mental wellness in agriculture. And I'm wondering, you know, what's your perspective on how we can get the message across to our tough, resilient men in the industry who don't want to talk about it to help bring them along on the journey? Because the conversation is changing in agriculture, but it's mainly driven by women, right? What are your thoughts on that, Taryn?
So I get the question a lot. How do I get my husband, my father-in-law, my dad, also my mom, my sister, you know, how do I get other people to do the work? And my answer is always and will always be, you have to start with you, because good movement does draw good movement. And just using a personal example, I got into the Enneagram and it helped me out so much. Like, it was my gateway drug, if you will, into the inner work. But I was so excited about it. And I was talking to Tom about it. And Tom's my husband. And he was not that excited about it. And he would talk to me a lot. And I would give him advice. There again, you don't necessarily need to give advice or fix everything for everyone. You just need to sit and listen. And that at that point, I didn't know that yet. But I was trying, like, giving him advice. And I would use the Enneagram to help me do that. And eventually he said, can you please just stop Enneagramming me? And so I did. Blatantly. I was still using it undercover, like incognito. I was more using it from a place of my own awareness in my motivations, and then also understanding his motivations and how he sees the world. So that's how I was using it when I stopped using it blatantly. So I wasn't like even saying anything to him really at that point anymore about the Enneagram or using Enneagram language at all. I was just using what I knew to help me be more aware of me and also be more aware of his motivations and things like that. And I did that for about a year. And then my friend Cass and I started a podcast called Type It Out with T and Cass, which we sort of abandoned, but there are a few episodes there that are pretty good talking about the Enneagram. And he started listening to it just as like to be a supportive husband, but he like so we could have more downloads, but not because he actually wanted to learn anything. But when Cass talked about being a type one, he called me out. I will never forget. I was driving to my EMT class and he called me and he was like, holy shit, I thought you were just blowing smoke up my ass, but this is real. I didn't know there was anyone else out there like me. And I was like, yeah. There is. And so then he started getting more interested in doing his own work. And since then, like I said, the Enneagram was my gateway drug, if you will. But since then, I've dug in even deeper and started using other techniques. And just the more that I have healed, the more on board he has gotten, the more he is healed. There was a point right after we had our son where we were in roommate mode, and that was a pretty bad time for us. Aside from that little stint in roommate mode, we've had a great relationship where the communication is open. We worked together in the beginning, and then we took a 7-year break where we didn't work together. Now we're back to working together. There were growing pains when we got back to working together, but we've always had a pretty good relationship. But I will say that since We've really dug into taking care of ourselves mentally and emotionally. Our physical health is better and our relationship is so much better. So that was a short story long. Getting back to how can we get men or other people in our lives to get on board with this? Start your own journey. Take care of yourself mentally and emotionally. And because good movement draws good movement, they will come along. I do have to say, there is, with a caveat, it is not always fast. It's a slow burn. But, you know, talking about the way society talks about, like we talked about goals, and this is kind of the same thing. We want things to move fast, but that's not the way it is. Like if you look at nature and farms and ranches, like it doesn't happen fast. Nature is slow and steady and methodical. And that's kind of how this is too. Slow and steady wins the race. I don't know who said it. I heard it several years ago, but the phrase slow is smooth and smooth is fast applies here big time.
Well, and I think too, we're quick to, you want that quick solution and want that quick fix, and taking time for ourselves to do that inner reflection, to do the journaling, to go for a walk, to make connection, have time for a call with your friends or call with your group or go to church. It takes time. And when you're working 7 days a week to feed cows and stuff, it's, you feel selfish doing it, but you can't pour from an empty cup and it ends up blowing up worse than if you take an hour every day to go for a run or go do something for you. The sustainability, I think, is huge too. So that quick fix we all want, you know, the fad diets are always on there. Fad mental health stuff is also a real thing. Like if you just do this, you'll feel so much better. If you just drink this juice and do this, you'll be a quick fix. But it's years and years and years of grinding and taking care of yourself and doing little things every day that make the biggest difference, which is really, really hard when you want to see the fence fixed today.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, where we work 7 days and we're feeding and we're taking care of all the things. We care deeply about our land and our livestock. We talk a lot about regenerative agriculture and sustainability. But we are the foundations of our operations. And if we are not taking care of ourselves, none of the rest of that stuff matters.
Yep. You can't pour from an empty cup, right?
You can try, but you won't get much out of it.
Right. Yeah. And then, yeah, you're pouring dust pretty soon. And that doesn't do anybody any good. That's for sure. Yeah. And to come back to how we approach things in agriculture, we pour from empty cups all the time, right? We take care of everyone else first, cows first, livestock first, kids first, families first, especially as women. I mean, we're almost taught in our society to repress ourselves, repress our own emotions and our own needs and our own self-care to make sure that everybody else is doing okay. And I mean, you know, I've had plenty of talks with my husband, with my parents, with my therapist about how, you know, like, it's okay to take time for myself because I can't be a good mom if I'm not well. It's nice to have that support around myself to be able to recognize that when I, you know, when I can't internalize it myself. But not everybody has that support system, you know, and it's conversations like this that hopefully will open minds and hearts to take what we're saying to heart and start to be that change, you know, in the industry and just our society in general. You know, maybe you could say that this is our form of trying to take care of our community too, just by starting these conversations.
For sure it is.
Well, and I think encouraging people to go make those connections, because it's easy to lean in on just one person, just our spouse or just our parents or just the people that have to be our friends. And it's important to have the courage to be weird and say, hey, you want to go for a run with me? Or hey, you want to go grab a cup of coffee? Or hey, you want to go do this to somebody you kind of know and try to build. It may or may not work, but you've got to have the courage to step out and continue to show up, because you never know when you might need somebody and when they may need you too.
Yeah. And connections don't have to be like this elaborate, deep, time-consuming thing. I mean, it's great when they are, but connection can be as small as saying, hey, I like your earrings, or smiling at someone, or waving, you know, and you don't even have to know the person. Those are small points of connection that make a huge difference, not just for you or the other person, but for both of you. So if you think it has to be complicated, it doesn't. Connection can be so simple and so quick. That is a quick thing we can do.
Yeah, exactly. I love that point right there, because I try to always make it a point, you know, like when I'm in a grocery store, or wherever, you know, someone's providing service to me, I'll just say thanks and hope you have a good day. And I learned that when I was working in a farm store when I was in high school, you know, on the other side of the till, you know, you're always polite to the customer. But I found that those people need to hear it too. And it's not just people behind the register, but just an easy, hey, thanks, have a good day. I don't think that we do that enough these days. We're absorbed in our phones and on social media and in our own heads. You know, we've all got stuff to do, but just a quick little courtesy phrase, you know, and more often than not, someone looks up and says, thank you, you know, and it's the easiest thing in the world to do. It really is. You know, it's so nice to hear someone says, hey, I think your earrings are super cute. You'd be like, oh, thank you. That's so nice to hear today.
And then a lot of times those little things like that you notice about someone else foster a deeper connection, because you say, oh, hey, I like your earrings. And then the person's like, thanks, I got them from somewhere. Or yeah, right. I pierced my daughter's ears on Christmas with a kid I got on Amazon. Yeah. Like, that's pulling from a real life conversation that happened. Runza cashier. Do you guys have Runza? You don't have Runza. It's a Nebraska thing. But have you heard of Runza?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I went to Runza, put my order in. The cashier's like, I really like your ear piercings. I could see I have 7 earrings between my 2 ears. And I could see she was working on it. And I was like, oh, hey, thanks. And then she's like, I want to get more, but it's so expensive. And I was like, oh, I pierced my daughter's ears by buying a kid on Amazon.
Right? Amazon for the win every time.
So the point of that is the little things foster the deeper things.
And you have to be willing to show up too, right? Like, you have to be willing to have the courage to make that first gesture. And what's, you know, eye-opening to me too is some people that the only time they hear anything positive is when you say, hey, I like your earrings, you know? And so if you can just give that glimmer of hope and be reminded that we never know what somebody else is going through, can really change your perspective, especially when I get in my own rat race of my head of not even noticing somebody walking by me on the walking trail or, you know, something like that. It's like, you know, a smile and a, hey, have a good day can go a long ways for some people.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, it really can. Taryn, this has been such a really good conversation. And I mean, we love all of our conversations about mental health. I mean, ones that dig deep like this though, and are so encouraging. And I mean, you just making the point over and over and over again about good movement draws good movement. And also that you have to work on yourself first, I think is such a powerful message that, you know, we need to get out into the world as often as we can, in as big a voice as we can, amongst as many of us as we can. Just thank you. Thank you for coming to share your voice here on our podcast as well. Before we wrap up, are there any final thoughts that you have, anything else you want to share, encouragement that you'd like to put out there for our listeners and, you know, hopefully anybody who's needing some help and some encouragement?
I just had this thought, which might be totally random, but I'm going to say it because I've also come to know that if something comes to me, I should just say it because it's meant for someone. But as you were talking about doing the work, I wanted to just say that this isn't about fixing you. You're not broken.
Yeah.
Your body is doing exactly what it's supposed to do to keep you safe. Maybe you're just stuck in fight or flight or freeze. This isn't about fixing you. You're not broken. This is about healing you and getting your nervous system back online to do what it's meant to do, which is keep you safe always.
I think that's a fantastic last thought and something for people to chew on. I think sometimes we think we're broken when our brains are in those spirals sometimes. So thank you for leaving us with that. Where can listeners find you, your podcast and all that stuff? And we will also link it in the show notes.
Yeah, so I'm Taryn, Taryn.Dreeling. I won't spell it out because it's going to be in the show notes. But I'm Taryn.Dreeling on Instagram. And my podcast is called Good Movement Draws Good Movement.
Awesome.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
thank you for coming on. And I do have to plug our podcast editor too, because she does both of our editors. So Jill can get a double dip on this one. And we so appreciate you, Taryn, for joining us. And we thank you, listeners, for tuning into this week's episode. We'll link all of Taryn's contact info, but we're also going to link our May Mental Health show notes too that Dr. Nora Phil-Posh had provided as well. Those will be ongoing for the series. So if you need help, there's resources in the show notes too for you. Do not hesitate to reach out.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Millennial Ag Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and like, subscribe, and review to our podcast. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email us at talktous@millennialag.com. Until next week, we are Millennial Ag.